for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Let's do it. Ready to roll. Ready to go. Welcome. Welcome back to regular format dream work. I am Colin Delaney. In a moment, I will be joined by my tag team partner, Cheech. We are the independent wrestling tag team known as To Infinity and Beyond. And this is Dream Work, the only podcast about tag team wrestling. I believe that to be true. It's definitely the only podcast I know of about tag team wrestling. Anyways, so yep, we're back to regular format. Very excited. Was happy to be studying some matches like usual, normal times. And this week's team is a good one. But I wanted to start with this. You know how like the internet tracks you? And if you type something in, if you search for something, it'll wind up popping up over and over again in like ads. Well, this week's team is Mustache Mountain. And I think because I typed mustache into my search bar so many times over the last, I don't know, week or so, that I got this ad for this article about this new trend in men's facial hair called the monkey tail. And I don't know if that popped up because this article just happens to be going around right now, or because I type mustache into my search bar 100 times. But if you have not seen the monkey tail, go look that up. And then I'm going to consider getting one and changing me and Cheech's tag team name to Monkey Tail Mountain. And until then, listen to this podcast where we talk about a different mountain. That is Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. They are Mustache Mountain.
Yes.
What's up, buddy?
I am excited to be back to regular format.
Right, right. It was good to, you know, get my match study on and, you know, just have a little more direction in my week.
Yeah, agreed. And the team that was chosen was a fun one.
Yeah. I was pumped for it.
I was... You were the one who made the call for Mustache Mountain this week, but I was racking my brain trying to come up with something because we had a couple weeks off of studying things. So I really wanted to come back with something that was going to be like fun to watch, you know?
Yeah, that was the thing. Me and you had kind of talked about it, and you had mentioned how you were like, oh, well, it's a new year. We've had a couple weeks off. We kind of have a clean slate on where we could pick wherever we wanted. So in my head, I kept trying to think. I was like, all right, I want to do something cool but somewhat unique, being that it's a new year. And funny enough, I think I was looking up recent like big name team that it was Undisputed Era versus them, and then I saw their name in there, and I was like, aha, there we go.
And it checks a wrestling box that we haven't checked yet of British teams, right?
Exactly. That was the thing. I was trying to think of something, once again, unique. And, like, this team's definitely known now in modern times. But, like, technically, yeah, they're the first British team we've done. Because it's funny. In my head, I always, like, ideally, if we had availability to footage, I was like, the British team I always would want to do would be the Liverpool lads, which is Robbie Brookside and, oh, my God, my mind went blank. Oh, and Doc Dean. That's the thing. And then later it became Frankie Sloan jumped in, who's the coolest man in the world. But like, I was like, oh, you'll never get that footage. So I was like, darn it, we'll never have like a British team. And then suddenly this popped up and I was like, oh, snap, there we go.
Yeah, because traditional British wrestling, they would have tag team matches, but there weren't a lot of like tag teams.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you think of like golden age, like World of Sport, like TV was so rare that, like, yeah, they had tag matches and yeah, they had tag teams, but like, you would never get like enough footage to be like, do like a best of on them.
Yeah. All right. Let's get right down to it. Let's get So you were the one who chose the team. What were your preliminary thoughts going into this choice?
My preliminary thoughts were I was excited just because I knew, like, I've seen probably most of their stuff, or at least their big stuff, and I always dug it. Like, they're an amazing team. So I was just like, I was just excited. That was it.
Yeah, my preliminary thoughts was that I was excited to dig deeper outside of what I knew. And in that regard, I think I was a little let down because the access to other matches that I didn't know wasn't as great as I would have hoped.
I see what you mean.
I was hoping to be able to find maybe some Progress or some Rev Pro or just some other British, a little deeper stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's funny because I was both like, okay, they were around less than I thought and also more than I thought. You know what I mean? Like, I saw a lot of their WWF stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, they're just a WWF team type, basically. And then I was like, oh, no, wait, they definitely had stuff earlier than that, too. So I go, okay. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, it's only WWE. But then when I ended up seeing more, I was like, okay, there was more, not a lot more, though.
Yeah, they have a very interesting cage match, I would say, because it is a little bit all over the board, because when they went to WWE, when they started doing that, they were still allowed to work other places. They were on one of those weird deals. So their early WWE stuff, there's all kinds of wacky stuff peppered in there.
Yeah, and over there, you can get a lot of matches in a short period of time. So I'm sure they took advantage of it.
Yeah, for sure. So let's go into their championships and accomplishments.
Yeah, bring it on.
So they are one-time NXT tag champs.
Yes.
They are one-time Rev Pro tag champs.
Okay.
They are one-time Progress tag champs.
Makes sense.
They pretty much held tag titles in every British promotion in the last 4 or 5 years.
I was gonna say, I feel like there's a pattern.
It's one time they held the belts one time almost everywhere in Britain. They are also one time IWS tag champs.
Okay.
And one time Chikara Campeones de Parejas.
Yes, yep. I knew they got in there. I knew they were in there.
And with Pete Dunne, they also won a Chikara King of Trios.
Okay, yes, that's where I knew that. Okay, I didn't know they actually did tag matches. Okay, I thought it was all trios is what I knew them.
So they did do a lot of trios. They were in King of Trios the year before, I think as like Team Battle Club Pro.
Okay.
With somebody else. And then 2017, they won it with Pete Dunne. But yes, that was the other thing about the Mustache Mountain cage match. There's a lot of British strong style trios matches in the mix. So I kept getting tripped up being like, oh, this would be fun. Ah, crap.
Yeah, that kept throwing me off too. Because at first I was like, oh, it was just British strong style before Mustache Mountain. I go, oh no, that's just their trio with Pete Dunne.
Yeah, interesting. And like the history of the team, like the way it went is kind of interesting because Mustache Mountain was a thing before WWE.
Yes.
But then when, you know, NXT UK started up and they were doing the whole UK tournament, Tyler Bate won that first tournament and was doing all that super cool singles stuff. And then they got to Mustache Mountain almost as like, this is Tyler Bate's buddy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That is definitely how it came across.
It was kind of, I don't know, it was interesting because they were already a team, but then Tyler Bate went like skyrocketed because he won that tournament. And then it just seemed like putting Mustache Mountain together was like, oh yeah, and also he's got a tag partner and occasionally they'll team.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like WWE both messed things up, but also obviously helped, you know, the career of Mustache Mountain.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's talk about what we watched. Let's list some matches. Cheech, what'd you watch?
All right. I saw them versus Grizzled Young Vets, NXT UK in July 2019. I saw them versus The Hunt in NXT UK in May 2019. Them versus Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews, NXT UK in April of 2019. Strong and O'Reilly from NXT UK June 2018. So that was even earlier on. Them versus Huxley and T-Bone from NXT UK in December 2018. A match versus the Swords of Essex from What Culture Pro Wrestling in November 2016. A match versus Wolfgang and Dunn from NXT UK in 2017. This one also on the network is the Progress match versus Lee and Riddle. Another Strong and O'Reilly from NXT Brooklyn. Another Grizzled Young Vets from NXT Blackpool. That was their big pay-per-view or whatever you would call it on the network. Bartel and Eichner on NXT UK. That one was a cool one. Forgotten Sons. And then the Street Profits. So, yeah, I think I got just about almost all the stuff on the network. I mean, there was other stuff, but like you said, there was a lot of those six-mans.
Wow, I literally think you did get everything on the network because I hopped around a little bit. Man, I almost watched the Eichner and Bartel one, but I skipped it.
Oh, no, yeah, that was a good one.
I was looking for the Grizzled Young Vets match from TakeOver, the UK TakeOver, but I was like, oh, Eichner and Bartel, maybe I watched this. And then I was like, no, let me get to the Grizzly Young Vets. Maybe I'll get back to it. And I just never did. So in true Colin fashion, I went in order. The first match I watched was a match from Chikara in 2016 where they wrestled the team of NRG.
Oh, I remember.
Like a high-energy team. Then I also watched the Swords of Essex What Culture Pro match from 2016. Then their first tag in NXT, which is against Pete Dunne and Wolfgang. Then I watched them wrestle Fish and O'Reilly from NXT in 2017. Then against Roddy and Kyle from NXT UK. And then the rematch from NXT Brooklyn. Then I watched the Grizzled Young Vets from TakeOver in 2019. And then I ended with, and this one you missed, from Worlds Collide 2020 against DIY.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There were a couple I missed. There were kind of a couple TV matches where they, I guess, semi-squashers. They were the shorter ones. So I was like, I don't really need to get to all the little ones. I want to see, like...
The Gargano and Ciampa one is their last televised match, period. The last televised match on their cage match.
Yeah, that's the thing. In my head, I was like, are they still a team? I feel like they're that team that'll float in and out and forever will be, like, associated.
Yeah, I'm into that. I kind of like that.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with it because especially like, you know what I mean, especially with like the weird circuit they're in being in NXT UK and being as talented as they are, it's like, well, we could also get a lot of use out of you as singles too. So there's no need to necessarily like break up the band. It's just like, oh, branch apart, come back together.
Yeah. And just a weird note for myself. When they wrestled Fish and O'Reilly, I wrote Fish and O'Reilly. But when they wrestled Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, I wrote Roddy and Kyle.
Yeah, I also kept going back and forth because I was like, okay, the team name for in my head is Strong and O'Reilly, but like in my notes, I was like, it's easier just to write Roddy or Kyle.
Agreed. But with Fish and O'Reilly, it's Fish and O'Reilly.
Well, yeah, that's simple. That's easy enough.
All right, so we both watched the Swords of Essex match.
Yes.
But before that, that NRG match is from like, I don't even remember what the month was, but it's definitely earlier in 2016. It's in Canada. You know how I know this?
Do you know the building?
Nope.
Oh.
Maddie is in the crowd.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he comes from America too, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no, this is definitely... I looked it up afterwards. I was like, I bet you this is in Canada. Oh, it's in Canada.
Okay. Which reminds me. That's the thing. This team did a lot of work in Canada because it's easy for them to fly back and forth. They did a bunch of stuff for Destiny in Toronto, which brings me to the odd fact that I've wrestled Trent Seven in Alpha One in Bram, somewhere north of it was past Toronto. We did this wacky six man of me, it was me, Eric Carney, and Justin Sane versus the North and Trent Seven, and he was amazing.
Wow. So from watching him, even early on, he looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, while we're talking about it, a funny thing was, we'll pull the curtain back a little bit, like, as I've gotten older, I'm not, like, the biggest fan of taking, you know, like, pile drivers and or backflips on clotheslines. Or I'm not a fan of them. They just haven't gone well. But in that match, in the six-man, I definitely took a pile driver and a backflip on a clothesline. And I remember it being like, don't tell Colin I can do these things.
You son of a bitch. Been holding out on me.
Yeah, but the only thing in my head, I was just like, I don't know, man. This guy's on WWF TV. Like, he's got to be awesome. Like, I'll do it. I trust him. And, yeah, he took care of me. He was great. I ended up taking a bunch of his stuff. But, yeah. He was great. But yeah, I took moves. I didn't, but yeah, he's great.
Like the first thing I wrote for the Swords of Essex match is, looks like they are having a lot of fun.
Oh my God, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, some of the matches all the way, all throughout, like, you know, they do look like they're having fun, but they're more serious because they're in more serious moments. But man, I love the matches where you can tell that they're just having fun.
Now, but here's the problem, though. Since we only saw, or at least for me, I only saw a few matches, a part of me definitely thought for a second, I was like, oh, is this just what they do if it's, like, not a big thing? They're just, ha-ha, we do body slams? Or is, like, that just them having fun and, like, you know, occasionally they'll get, you know, blood and guts and down and dirty, or is that just the NXT thing? You know what I mean? But I'm sure it's not. But I thought that for a second.
Well, that match is early, so they didn't even have WWE success under their belt. They didn't have anything. They were just having fun. They were just over with the crowd and having fun.
Yeah, I know. But you know what I mean? In my head, like, I think of them as this big work rate team and all. And in that match, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, you could tell they're good wrestlers, but the match was more fun, ha-ha, and then they get screwed in the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I like the funness of their personality, because even when they're having the serious match, like, I don't know, I like, for me personally, because this is also what we do, I also have fun while I'm doing it. So I like, you know, I like being able to see that in my performers.
Oh, no, I understand. I know where you're coming from. I, too, also appreciate it. I get a kick out of it, too, and you can tell they're getting a kick out of it.
Yeah. Also, for the NRG match, first of all, Chikara tag rules, I miss them so. While watching this, I go, oh, I miss this because it's so much easier.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
And it's so much easier to have fun with it. But also, I wrote, they do a very traditional British style, but updated. And then I wrote, oh, yeah, British strong style. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily think they're a strong style person. I think it just sounds good. Like, I think they're just updated, you know, they're just modern wrestlers who are from Britain. So, yeah, they do throw a little bit of that in there, you know what I mean? But, like, I don't know. I don't think they're, like, strong style per se. But if it's that, if that's the British style of it, I guess, if you're going that way.
Yeah, but it, like, that's, there's just, like, their tag and their whatever of their little click there. But when you break it down, like, what they do, like, a traditional British style, and they throw the nods into it, and they're good at it, and then it goes up a notch, you know? So in theory, it is, like, I don't know, it's a term for it. Maybe it's not the most correct term, but I don't hate the use of it.
No, absolutely. Like, there were definitely times where I was watching, like, Tyler Bate, and I go, wow, this is probably as close as you're going to get to, like, a modern Johnny Saint.
Yeah, he does it very, very well. I mean, Zack Sabre is, like, closest you're going to get to, like, that traditional British style done really well in that way. But then Tyler Bate's, like, a second to it. You can tell he's studied it and works hard at it, because it's not easy to do. You can tell when people are faking it.
Ah, okay, fine. Then a more apt comparison, maybe he's more of a modern-day Steve Gray then, because he's more athletic. but he's a much more updated style. So yeah, maybe that's a better comparison. But okay,
I'm into that.
Okay, a thing that I got from watching all these matches that stuck out to me that I'm not quite sure of, and this match kind of brings it up. I found them to be rather formulaic, but I think that's more an aspect of being in the WWE system.
So, yes, I agree, because I always take note of that type of thing while I'm watching. Like, I always take note in a bit of the formula, because usually you can see the formula as you're watching the same team over and over again. Every team gets formulaic when you watch them in the style that we're watching them. But yes, them, for sure, in the beginning, in the early NXT days, for sure, they were like pretty note for note. But I will say, in observing that, they got they were not good at their roles in the beginning, and they got really, really, really good at those roles.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Absolutely, absolutely. So wait, so that brings me to, I feel like that their formulaicness is indeed an aspect of them being in the WWE system, because in a match like with the Swords of Essex, they do just have fun. They do just have a little bit. It's just, it's has a different flow to it. I think it's the match with the Grizzled Young Vets in Blackpool at the big, like, pay-per-view or whatever. That one, since it goes over 20 minutes or whatever or something, like, it has a different flow. Whereas, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it does get formulated, because all their matches are pretty much, like, 10 to 12, 12 to 15. So I was like, oh, okay, if they're having the exact same timed match, yeah, I guess that's why. But when I see all them on the few indie matches or longer matches, they were indeed more varied.
So in the beginning, like in the indie matches, and then even into their early NXT stuff, and I mean pretty much all throughout, Trent Seven is the one who gets beat up. He's the one who takes the heat. And then Tyler Bate is the one who makes the comeback, right?
Yes, and I'm not even talking about that part of the formulaicness. Like, that's just a natural thing in most tag teams. I just feel like they were even more formulaic than that, per se.
Well, yeah, I mean, they would hit their bits. They had their bits, and they would just do the bits. And I get that. But I'm saying, like, I always pay attention to things like that, though, because early on I was like, man, Trent Seven does not get beat up well. He doesn't. It doesn't seem to be his specialty. And not for nothing, Tyler Bate does not do a great comeback.
Yeah, they definitely were the earlier ones where they weren't even mustache. I mean, they were, but they were just calling them like Trent Seven and Tyler Bate. And I was just like, okay, these are fun. These are different. They just, you know, they're just the team.
Yeah, Trent Seven would just kind of get beat up. There was no sympathy behind it, that like no reason to feel bad for him. And then Tyler Bate would come in and just do moves and go into like what would be like a finishing sequence. And I was like, woof, I'm not, you know, the matches come out good, but like the roles are not being played to the best of their ability. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there was definitely something happened and the light turned on somewhere.
Oh man, working by the time you get to those Roddy and Kyle matches, you're like, oh, never mind, they figured it out. Here it is.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Those, oh my gosh, those matches were so, like at one of them, like you said, Tyler just loves zip moves. At one part, he gets the hot tag, and I go, him and Roddy are just sprinting. They're just going, no, I'm going to run faster than you. No, I'm going to run faster than you.
And another thing I'd like to mention, Tyler Bate is 19.
Okay, which brings me to, it took me a little while. There were a couple of things that made me feel a little dumb. I'll go with the one that made me feel dumb first. I was like, why does Trent Seven call it a 7-star lariat? Why did he go from 5 to 7? And then I was like, oh, it took like 10 matches before I was like, oh, because his last name's Trent Seven. The other one that kept throwing me off was the Tyler Driver. What was it, 97?
Yes.
And I was like, this motherfucker doesn't understand how that whole number thing works. Like, the reason it's called, like, Tiger Driver 98 is because he did it in 1998. Tyler Bate calls it 97 because if my math is right, that's the year he was born.
That is correct. That is the year he was born. And they, especially early on, like in those, Mike Quackenbush in the Chikara match mentions that he's 19 no less than 100 times. In that Swords of Essex match, they mention that Tyler Bate is 19 a bunch. And then in NXT, in early NXT, they mention that he's 20. They mention that he's 21. They do not stop telling you that dude's age.
Yeah, but I remember, like, I don't know why, it took me a couple matches where I was like, why is that just hit weird when I was like, Tyler Driver 97. I go, he wasn't doing any moves in 97. And then I was like, oh, motherfucker, that's when he's born.
Okay, so I have this question, and I think you are the perfect person to ask about this.
Okay.
Remember back in the day watching ECW?
Yes.
Take yourself back to that moment, watching it and hearing Joey Styles. And every move had a name, but you knew every move's name also because you watched ECW, and when Joey Styles would tell you the name, would say the name of the move, you would remember it, and you'd be like, oh yeah, that's this.
Uh-huh, yes, yes, yes.
I'm listening, and I watched a bunch of these Mustache Mountain matches in a row. I listen to Mauro say names sometimes of moves, and I'm like, that's called what? Is this the first we're hearing of this? And it's probably not. But maybe just back in the day, I had a better retention for it because I was like super locked in and into it. But like every move they do has a name, and I know none of them.
Yeah, yeah, no. Well, that's the thing. Okay. Well, like you said earlier, and I said earlier, I've watched most of their big stuff just because they were on big like NXT pay-per-views or whatever. But like that was all that I had seen. So that wasn't able to watch their week in and week out TV stuff where you learn that, like, what is it? If when they point the fist to the sky and then punch you, it's the bib, then the bop is what it's called. And then, like, yeah, like, yes, they do have a lot of names for their moves.
Yeah, it brought me back to, like, ECW where, like, a guy would hit, like, a hip toss and Joey Styles had a name for that guy's hip toss. But I was super into it back in the day because it was ECW and it was my everything. So I feel like maybe people are like that now and I'm just older and don't have like the brain capacity to keep understanding move names.
Yeah. What is it? I think it's called Dunbar's number, where it's like you can only remember so a certain number of things. So yeah, you only can remember a certain number of move names, and that's just one or two too many.
Yeah, they do have one or two, maybe three too many. Where else to go with this team? So the Roddy and Kyle rematch, not the NXT UK one, the one in the States with the towel throw in, is a 5-star, if I'm not mistaken.
I can believe it. I can totally believe it. That match is dope.
Because I did at one point, because we got on the study part of this a little late. So as I'm going through matches, instead of just being like, I'll just go in chronological order, I went to like the match guide where it'll give you like which matches got ratings and whatnot. And I was like, ooh, let me see which ones get high. And I think the Roddy and Kyle, the rematch with the towel throw is a 5-star.
Yeah. Oh, no, it definitely is. I could tell you just by looking at my notes from, like, the matches. Like, that match, I think, had, like, the most, because that one was the most bonkers. Because, like, a lot of the other matches, like we said, are formulaic. You know, you kind of get to the getting at the, you know what I mean? Like, there's 5 minutes left, you know, it starts getting bonkers. This was, like, they went bonkers and then had, like, I mean, it just kept going. They had ups and downs. Like, they had a long go home.
The Grizzled Young Vets from TakeOver UK, I felt similar about that one, though. That one had what you would like to call nuance.
Yes, it definitely did. Those Grizzled Young Vet kids are, look at me calling them kids, those grown-ass men. I've had my eye on them for a while, too, because every time I've seen them wrestle, it's always been really good matches, really smart. But is it really smart, or is it just because Nigel McGuinness keeps telling me how smart Zach Gibson is? Because Zach Gibson does all Nigel McGuinness stuff.
No, it's really smart. It's I watch them do things, and I'm like, oh, that's really clever. Cheech would yell at me, and Cheech would yell at me and tell me I'm being too nuanced if I tried to call.
You're 1,000% correct. There were certain things they did where I go, oh, Colin would love that.
It's interesting. It keeps the dynamic of tag team wrestling is such that certain little things we can do in a match that other people can't do in a match. So bending the rules and doing things smartly, I like to do. And not even bending the rules, but just like doing things a little outside the box. And Cheech is right that some crowds, especially on an independent level, would not even close to register in their brains.
Nor do we have amazing commentators. Not that any of our commentators are bad per se, but you know what I mean? Like a nuanced thing like that in NXT was like discussed in a boardroom like a week ago.
Yeah. Well, correct. There were some things that I almost missed and I was like, ooh, thanks commentary. That is an aspect that I didn't think about to this sequence.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, of course, these commentators know what's up, whereas, like, on the indies, the guys are just hoping. Like, you know what I mean? And we've been there a few times, or at least I could say I've been there when doing commentary, and I'm like, okay, like, I think I know what story this match is telling, and then that isn't telling that. You know what I mean? Like, in your commentary, you want to, like, lead it that way, and then you're like, oh, no, they're making a left turn. Oops. You know what I mean?
And you know I had to watch that Grizzled Young Vets NXT UK TakeOver match, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know why I had to watch it?
Was it because of the British Bulldogs gear? That's why I watched it.
Because they're dressed like me, Cheech. They're dressed like me.
Oh, I mean, I guess. I was the little...
You!
Whoa, okay.
You guess?
All right, fine. I meant, yeah, the one where they look just like a bunch of Colin the ladies.
I have never met these two gentlemen, and for them to go out of their way to pay homage to me on a big night in NXT UK, it meant a lot to me, Cheech. Don't take this away from me.
Did you also like the homage that the Grizzled Young Vets make to the Olsen twins?
What do they do?
They do they do it slightly different, not as good. The leap over leg drop curb stomp.
I didn't even take that one.
I don't think they did it in the NXT Blackpool one. They did it on the other one.
They don't do it like curb stomp style, right?
No. You know how you would jump from behind Jimmy and land in the leg drop? Mm-hmm. This one, the guy comes from the side and almost like unnecessarily like buddy hops over into him.
Yeah. I've seen it done plenty of ways, mostly the way me and Jimmy did it.
Yeah, and I figure that's the most, but I guess they're, you know, being a little different coming from the side. I don't know. But those kids, once again, I call them kids. I don't know why. They were great. I like the, I like that he goes for his 7-star Rainmaker and he ducks it right into the dive, into the Doomsday dive. And then they go right to the finish. That's what I liked the best. I was like, that's an amazing high spot. And like, they didn't dawdle and go like, oh, no, let's go in and do a couple more ups and downs. It was like, no, that was as high as we're going to get. Let's take it over.
I wrote it down. I love the both guys dive finish.
What do you mean?
You know, like Tyler Bate gets wiped out and he's a dead person. Then Trent Seven goes for the dive, gets kicked in his face as he's trying to dive, and they just roll him in and hit their finisher. Both guys are physically dead.
Yeah. That one is cool. I liked in the other one. I don't know. Or maybe it was earlier in the match. I don't know. I know they had two of them that I watched where he goes, Tyler Bate goes for the M-Dog gimmick. The head, the behind the neck ring.
The guy
gives him an enziguri. Oh, no. That was the Fabian Aichner-Bartel match. It was gross and great.
I think they did that in a DIY match with Gargano.
Probably, because he does that apron enziguri gimmick.
The DIY match, you didn't see it. I think you would have hated it.
Why is that?
Like right off the rip, as I'm like, as the match is starting, I'm like, oh, it's kind of like they're very similarly built teams, you know, like Johnny and Bate are like the little quick guys, and then Tommaso and Trent are like the big, you know, they strike guys. And then they just beat that story with a hammer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Gargano and Tyler Bate counter out of each other's things for basically the entirety.
Well, yeah. I feel like that's more of a Johnny trope, though.
Yeah, but, well, agreed. But when you have a guy like Tyler Bate on the other half of it, I was like right as the match started, because they start the match and they do a little wrestling and then they start getting into it, and I was like, oh, right. They're going to do a lot of
this. A lot of monkey see, monkey do.
And they do a lot of it.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Like, I do like but that's why I like the less, once again, the less formulaic matches where they have more time, where Tyler can go in and do the open and, you know, not necessarily just go high spot, you know what I mean? Not just go straight to arm drags. I like the few matches where he gets to wrestle around for a little bit. I like it when they have time to, you know, feel each other out as a team. But I felt like in these, they're such a good team and they have so many, like, tricks up their sleeve. They're like, almost like 15 minutes isn't quite enough to get all of them.
Yeah, no, for sure. Especially Tyler Bate. Man, like, they keep mentioning his age, which just continues to hammer home how young he is. And holy crap. Like, it cannot be understated how good he is for his age.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, though. If he's so young, so talented, why can't he take a little bit more of the butt whoopings for Trent Seven?
He takes the heat in the DIY match.
Oh, no, I love the matches where he had to take the heat. I like seeing Trent Seven have to do the hot tag and stuff, because it was different once again. And because it was just a different dynamic. He's more heavy-handed. And I love, because, or at least I contend, Trent Seven does a really good looking tired run. You know what I mean? Because I was like, you know, he's amped up. These are big matches, I'm sure. But, like, there's a couple times where he likes to do, like, you know, both opponents across the ring and he just ping-pongs back and forth. But, you know, he's real good at telling that story of getting tired, too, though. See, I mean, it looks like the most belabored, like, hot tag sometimes. But I'm like, it's a good story. I was like, he's really good at it.
Yeah, for sure. And it... Once again, that was like the tired one was like his basic, but he got really good at selling. He got really good at drawing emotion.
Oh, definitely. And I assume, once again, we talk about, you know, the pitfalls of the WWE system. I think that's entirely due to the WWE system.
Which is, I love that. Yeah, I mean, you know me. I think that is like the lifeblood of professional wrestling, is the emotion and the making people believe, you know, what we're selling to them. So like, if they push one thing on people, if they instill one thing on people, and it's that, I love
it. Oh no, absolutely. Yeah, I'm totally for it. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, like, there's the pitfalls of where, like, oh, the WWE system gets a little formulaic. But the WWE system also makes guys who, if they're up to it, can become phenomenal sellers, which is the backbone.
Yeah, it was also – so we talked about this in our year-end review with the Bitcoin boys, how just in 6 months it was like, holy crap, they're like – they're grown people now. It was fun watching – a young 19-year-old Tyler Bate go from 2016 all the way to 2020, where I'm like, oh shit, he's a grown person now.
And you can see him getting all fancy with his different hairdos and mustaches and beards
and tattoos, and he's getting thicker
and then shredded.
The best part is, I bet, like, if I'm Trent Seven, by the way, he looks incredible. I strive to be him in basically every way.
Okay.
But I bet you he was pumped that little Tyler Bate started getting thicker because it closes the gap between them.
Yeah, definitely. But like they also have that weird, and which I liked. I thought a cool wrinkle to them was the whole teacher student type gimmick, because I believe that's technically like a real thing.
Yeah,
and I just think it's great because in our minds we think back to like, or maybe I think back to like Mr. Wrestling 2 and Magnum TA, and like anytime the mentor was always like some way older old timer guy. This I liked it because I just felt like, oh no, that's really true of like modern wrestling. Like, perfect example, how many people would technically say like you're their mentor, you helped train them and stuff? It's like you're only a couple years younger or older than these people, or just the way things work out, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure they probably, like, I don't know their story, but I doubt like they grew up together. I'm sure they just ran into each other in wrestling and just happened to be, oh, we both like wrestling, we're both getting into wrestling, we just happen to be different ages. But I'm sure Trent was just in a little bit earlier than him, you know what I mean? There's a lot of times where you get guys like that, like, oh, I was in like year 3 or 4 when this guy came around and I helped him out.
Yeah, I didn't look this up, but how old is Trent Seven, do you think?
I don't know. Probably around my age. Probably around our age.
All right. I should have looked it up, but I didn't. They said the same thing about the Grizzled Young Vets, though. But they said the Grizzled Young Vets knew each other from like 12 or something.
Which is also a possible thing. But yeah, I mean, usually that's not the case. But yeah, I'm sure there are cases like that.
Yeah, especially over there where I'm sure the community is a bit tighter just because of proximity and the size of the island that they live on.
I was going to say, yeah, we're basically like the size of New York State, so.
right. Like me and you, we've known each other forever, but we technically are from like 5 hours away in New York State. That would be like anybody in England.
Yeah, because what was it? I think top to bottom is like 5-6 hours.
Right. So we're about an England other side of the country growing up from each other.
Yep.
But yeah, so, all right, let's do it. What makes Mustache Mountain great?
Okay. Like I had just kind of brought up is, first, technically, in the, you know, technical proficiency, they're amazing wrestlers. Like, just from a work rate standpoint, they're amazing. What I think makes them great is that they have so many dynamics they play off of. Like we said, you've got mentor or trainer student, you've got a slightly older guy, younger guy, you've got fast guy versus slow and methodical guy. You know what I mean? They said which they get to play off of against. Then, so you have all those stories combined just on their side. Then you have, oh, are they facing big guys, little guys, fast guys, fat guys, small guys, karate guys, amateur wrestler guys? You know what I mean? Like, they already come in with a bunch of stories that they can. Like, if they wanted, they could wrestle, you know, a team with no stories and just get by on telling theirs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think what makes them great is basically, we kind of touched on this early, the fact that they're both such good, like, utility players that, yes, they're a tag team and they're an incredible tag team, but they're both so good individually that you can really do anything with them. They're like a promoter's dream to an extent, because you can do anything you want to with them. If you put them both singles, you're perfect. If you put them as a tag, incredible. You know, it's not always that way.
You know, exactly. Like, same thing. I think of that same thing as, like, they have those dynamics they can use there, too. You can put them singles if need be. You can put them with another guy and make them a trio, you know what I mean? And then themselves, like you said, they can, like, they're both, obviously being British wrestlers, they're both good at technical wrestling. They're both good at strikes. One's all chops, and the other one has, you know, the big bip-bop punch and then does the capo kick. You know what I mean? Like, they also themselves cover all their own bases.
Oh, I didn't put over the capo kick, but I love a good capo kick.
Here's the thing, like, his is so different. I almost don't think of it as a capo kick. Like, his I just think is like a, you know, like a front rolling kick, whereas like capo kick, I don't know. I always just think of the low key style.
In the backyard, Mookie used to do this move where he would just run and flip at guys.
Okay.
And it was a lot like what Tyler Bate does, and he called it macaroni.
Oh, well, there you go.
So basically, Tyler Bate does macaroni.
But yeah, his is a little different, you know what I mean? I always think of like low-key or Liger style where it's more like a lot of body. Or like even, what's his name? Fitchett does it the same way where it's a lot of body. And his, it's a lot of just leg and foot whacking you hard.
Yeah, but back to what made them great. Sorry, you said copper
kick. That's in there too. But once again, like we said, they have good strikes. They have good suplexes. They have top rope moves. They have dives. You know what I mean?
And here's the bottom line about what I was just saying. Being a tag team together doesn't raise their stock any. You know, there's some teams where, like, sure, they're great by themselves, but together it raises them to a different level. It really doesn't. They're the same level all the way across the board. They're great all the way around, and it's you can't lose any way you put them out
there. But I agree, yes. But I also do agree, like, on a very base level of they're very much like a 1+1=2. Like, they're almost like Hart Foundation where you're like, all right, you got the small, agile guy, got to pair him with a bigger, tougher guy. You know what I mean? Like, they also just make sense on that base level too. But once you add the fact that sure, they're incredibly talented and they're all these dynamics they can play off of, it just raises it even higher.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. All right, now, here we go. How would we defeat Mustache Mountain?
Obvious. We have to reverse their formula. You know what I mean? Like we said, unfortunately, they're a little formulaic, so we know the formula. We need to beat up on the little guy. We can't let him get no hot tag, and we just got to try and hope to survive the bigger Trent Seven's one, which is more heavy-handed and impactful, but not as much as a barrage. And I think we could withstand a less dynamic barrage than we could with that human pinball Tyler Bate running around.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I think we just ground and pound. We take out Tyler Bate, and I would go as far as to say, like, I know it's pretty whatever, but I didn't see anybody go after that dude's legs. Like, not a single person. And he ain't going to be able to pinball around and fly around and do all his stuff if you take out one of those strong, meaty legs of his.
You say that, but what was the whole towel-throwing incident based around? Was an Imanari roll by Kyle O'Reilly to work over Tyler's leg. But it's okay. I digress.
Well, Trent was the one who got the towel thrown in on him.
Oh, okay. See, I'm talking about where he gets the towel and he's like, I'm going to throw it. And then he throws it in the crowd. That was a hot spot.
Oh.
But yes, no, that would be the plan. That would be the plan. Obviously, we would follow other similar geniuses like the Undisputed Era, and we would try and beat up on the little one. He's little. He's you know what I mean? That's the point of these things. You beat on the little guy and hope to survive the big guy.
It's what makes sense for sure. And my chest is like callous to chops at this point where they don't even faze me. And he's got some nasty ones, but I think I can survive.
It'll never not tickle me, Pink, as a man who's known you forever and knew you when you were young and complained about chops.
Yeah. Now I'm groans, Cheech.
Oh, I know. I love it. When you do it, I always think to myself, I go, when he was younger, he hated these things. Now he just goes, eh, and you just swipe them away. I got no problem with it. You can take them all if you want.
That's right. That's right. Come for me. Find out.
Yeah.
All right, man. That was Mustache Mountain. We did it. We got all the way to the end. And the one thing in my notes that I didn't mention that I really
What's
wanted
that?
To? I wanted to talk probably for 45 minutes about Tyler Bate's bridge.
Oh, well, yeah, I think that's also a smaller body helps him in that.
Whew. At times I was like, I would break. My body hurts looking
Yeah,
at it.
that's the thing. His body is way more compact. It can handle that stress. Yeah, he does some stuff where I'm just like, whew. Oh boy.
I'm just telling you, I'm just telling you, I lived an entire life watching that Grizzled Young Vets match, watching Tyler basically wrestle in my gear, saying, look at me do these things.
Yeah, but he's a big, or was it big, strong boy? You, not so much.
Yeah. And why do the NXT UK people take their shoes off? Do you
I
know?
don't know. British people, they crazy, but I enjoy the heck out of them. That was the fun part watching these matches with their crazy chants and all their wackiness.
Yeah. All right. Mustache Mountain in the books. Man, I didn't even think of them. Like when I'm thinking about tag teams, because I rack my brain about it all the time. What should we do next? Mustache Mountain didn't even cross my mind, and I'm glad that we did them. That was very
Yeah, I
annoying.
was pumped. It just hit me like a bolt of lightning. I go, oh, that checks all the boxes. That done and done. And the thing was, I was also waiting. I was like, all right, this is mine. I go, I wonder what he's going to come with. And you didn't really say anything. So I go, all right, I'll just bring it out.
Gotta bust it out. Gotta bring it. Gotta bring it. And now we've crossed the British off our list. The last team we technically did was the Holy Demon Army. So Japanese team, British team. I don't think we're ready to pull the Mexican team trigger because that's a tough one.
Once again, those are tough finds because, like, yeah, they have a million matches, but they're usually trios and they're hard to find.
If somebody out there has got a line on some crazy way we can watch a lot of stuff that we don't have access to, you hit the Twitter. You hit my DMs. You find me somehow because we're
Yeah,
looking.
let us know if there's some like online best of playlists or something of some good teams out there that are maybe obscure. Because, yeah, that's the only way we're going to be able to find some of those nonsenses.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, that's another one down, and we'll get another one in the books, and we'll see you guys next week.
Until then, adios.